Jesus. and the delegation say hallelujah. This service is coming to you tonight from the Cobo Hall, downtown Detroit, where the 63rd International Convention of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ is in progress. We are grateful in our hearts for all of God's blessings unto us, allowing us to be in our 63rd International Convention of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ. We honor our presiding apostle this evening, Bishop William L. Bonner, who have done a magnificent job in leading the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ as God has led him to higher heights and deeper depths. Souls are being filled with the Holy Ghost in this convention, and we praise God for it. Today is Education Day. The Apostle of Education, Apostle Frank Solomon, and the President Spellman, Dean Charles Wright, and Deacon Smith, the President of the Board of Education. This evening we are in store for three dynamic messages. The first one being Bishop James I. Clark from the state of New York. Let's receive him by saying amen.
Amen.
Bishop Clark.
Board of Apostles, to the Board of Bishops, various auxiliaries of the Churches of our Lord Jesus Christ, giving honor to this great delegation, the 63rd International Convention. I want to praise the Lord for the privilege of being here tonight. I want to glorify God for His mercy, for His keeping power. We have a short time to speak to you, so I'm going to get right to the point. I'd like you to turn with me in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. Begin reading at the 10th verse. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Let the church say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
O Lord Jesus, we pray for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, for the instruction and counsel necessary to edify and strengthen the body of Christ. Amen. We live in perilous times. We're challenged on every hand. I've heard it said often throughout this convention that there are all kinds of oppositions and all kinds of adversarial forces at work trying to undo and undermine the program of Jesus Christ. Those of us who have come here from our various cities and our various churches are very cognizant of the evil and the wicked that is afoot in the world today. The tragedy, more severely even than the things we find in the world, is that the church seems to have lost clear vision of God's intent and purpose for her. I wish to call your attention to this using the book of Ephesians, because it is a most appropriate series of scriptures or verses that the writer Paul addresses to the church here. Fundamentally, he speaks of the conduct of the church, the calling of the church, the conduct of the church, and finally the conflict of the church. And it's with that in mind that I would like to address you briefly this evening. He said in the 10th verse in this 6th chapter, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And I'd like to use, for a more colloquial kind of term, hang on in there. Hang on in there. Now, in given the kinds of things that we've experienced, the problems that the church has gone through in my short tenure, amen, I'm sure that there are those who are questioning the logic and the rationale, amen, for staying in the church. If you look at the turnover in our churches today, there are numerous people who have come into the church who've been baptized in Jesus' name and received the power of the Holy Spirit, who are now walking the streets and returning to the hovels, as the scripture spoke in one place, saying it's as a dog who returns, amen, to his vomit, or a pig to his wallow. And it seems, amen, to be taking place with such rapid pace that it makes us concerned that perhaps we've lost sight, praise God, of God's vision and purpose for the church of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul, however, was not dissuaded, amen, by the conditions of his time. And I can submit to you tonight that I don't believe that we are dissuaded from holding to the gospel of Jesus Christ by the condition of our time. There are still some folks who are ready, amen, and prepared to see Jesus when he comes again. There are still some people who are not concerned about who leaves Christ as long as they make their calling and election sure. Praise God. And so, amen, it's to these people, those who are sitting before me and those who are sitting out in Radio Land, that I would like to encourage you tonight. Don't have long to do it, but I'm going to say what I can. Hang on in there. The Apostle Paul says, amen, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Now, I can hear someone saying to me, for what reason? Why should I be strong? Bishops are backsliding. Praise God. Mothers, the church mothers, are not doing their part. Churches are dying. Praise God. The evil seems to be afoot without restraint in the world. Why should I hang in there? I'd like to submit to you four possible reasons why you should hang in there. The first is, amen, we should hang in there because of who we are. And if you have a question about that, consider with me in the first chapter of Ephesians, amen, in the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth verses, where the Apostle Paul tells us who we are. He says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. And listen to this. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved. We should hang in there, amen, because of who we are. Who are we? Well, I'll tell you who we are after I tell you who we were. We were drunkards. We were prostitutes. We were drug pushers. We were liars. We were connivers. Praise God. Some of us were effeminate. Many were homosexuals. But I'm not talking about who we were. I want you to hang in there because of who you are. Praise God. And you are who you are, not by human choice. Not because you decided somewhere, amen, along life's journey, that you would cease the sinful life and the practices, praise God, that characterize your life. But because God looked beyond your faults and saw your needs. Why don't you say hallelujah? Praise God. The Bible says he predestinated us long before we ever heard the gospel preached in the economy and the wisdom of God. He decided that we should be saved. I heard a writer said, he called me long before I heard, before my sinful heart was stirred. And when I took him at his word, he lifted me. Hallelujah. Praise God. We should be strong. Amen. We should be strong because of the cost, amen, to God to make our new status possible. We ought to hang in there because of what God did to save us. If you consider the first chapter, the second chapter, and the first verse, it says, I therefore the prisoner, rather, amen, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. And verses 4 through 7, he says again, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hallelujah, hath quickened us, given us life together with Christ. By grace you are saved, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Praise God, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us through Christ Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus Christ. What a great God we serve. Hallelujah. The word of God said, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But this is the exciting thing. When we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. Oh, why don't you say hallelujah? Hallelujah.
God. Praise God. The cost. It cost God's son. Hallelujah. His life on Calvary. And that's the reason why we ought to hang in there. We ought to hang in there, praise God, because somebody's trying to take it from you. Why don't you say amen? You ought to get just pure mad. You ought to get mean because someone's trying to take it for you. Hallelujah. Jesus gave it to you. He died to make it possible. And there's an adversary who is going around like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He lost his when he said, I will ascend up to the north. I will be his God. And he lost his, and now he's trying to take you off. But make up in your mind, I'm going to hang in there. Hallelujah. I heard Martin Luther say, for still our ancient foe doth seek to work us woe. His craft and power great, and armed with cruel hate, on earth is not his equal. Paul says, amen, arm yourselves against the wiles of the devil. Oh, come on, church. Hallelujah. He's trying to take it from you, but I want you to hang in there. When he lies on you, hang in there. When he stabs you in the back, hang in there. When he tries to undermine, hang in there. When you don't feel as though you're making any progress, hang in there. Hallelujah. Praise our God. We need to hang in there. Hallelujah. Praise God. Because we have what we need to hang in there. Come on and talk to me. We have what we need to hang in there. Praise our God. Hear what the writer says. Hallelujah. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. How shall I stand? How shall I hang in there? Well, hallelujah, hallelujah. We're wrestling not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. If you're going to hang in there, take up something. Hallelujah. Put on the whole armor of God. Hallelujah. Put truth around you. Gird it tight. Hallelujah. I've heard of concepts. I've heard of ideologies. But there's only one truth. Jesus Christ is Lord. To the glory of God the Father. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hang in there. You've got the truth. Hang in there. Hallelujah. Praise our God. And after you've got the truth, praise our God, then you've got to put on the breastplate of righteousness. Hallelujah. May not seem like we have an awful lot going for you, but I like the concept of the breastplate of righteousness. When you don't know the appropriate scripture, when you're not profound and eloquent like some folks are, you've got righteousness. Righteousness, by definition, is an upright life. Hallelujah. If you can't sing like angels and you can't preach like Paul, you can live the life for Jesus. Hallelujah. And tell him he died for all. I've got to go, but I want you to remember this. No matter what comes or goes, when you go back to your homes, and no matter what you have to face, the Lord has given you what you need. Hang in there. Stand. No matter how, you have to stand. I've got one weapon that will take you through all the time. The Bible says, praying always. Praying always. Hallelujah. On the subway, pray. In your home, pray. On the job, pray. In your office, pray. Don't give up. Hang in there. Hang in there. Hang in there.
At this time, let us sit prayerfully as Elder C.A. Taylor from the state of Texas speak unto us the word of God. Elder Taylor, let the church say amen.
Amen.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow. Because he lives, all fear is gone. Because I know he holds my future, now life is worth the living just because he lives. Because he lives, I can face all of my tomorrows. How about you tonight? Because Jesus lives, all of my fear is gone. Because I know now life is worth the living just because he lives. To Apostle Bonner and the rest of the Apostle Board and to the Board of Bishops, Board of Presbyters, praise the Lord, to all of the saints and to our radio listening audience. We greet you once again in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank God tonight for being saved. And I thank God tonight for knowing that I'm saved. And I want to also thank God tonight for knowing that I know that I know that I'm saved. Praise the Lord. I want to call your attention to the third chapter of 1 Timothy in the 16th verse. I want to talk tonight about a mystery without controversy. You gonna pray with me? A mystery without controversy. Word of God reads as follows. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up to glory. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifested in the flesh. A mystery without controversy. In every culture and in every society, there will always be found a belief about God. No matter how there may be differences in governmental administration, whether they be civilized or whether they be jungleized, whether they are Republican or Democratic or independent, whether they are from Yale or the Detroit jail. Everybody has their own personal concept about God. Most people will accept the fact, even as you personally witness to them, that there is a greater power than themselves. Look at the conditions of religious conditions around the world, the Hindu, the Zindu, the Buddhist, the Muslim, as well as the Christian. All of these will admit that there is a God, that there is a deity, that there is a greater power. And the definition of what a God is simply a deity that is worshipped, being recognized as a power with supernatural ability. And I don't know about your God tonight, but I want to let you know right off that my God has supernatural ability. For before the light knew it was bright, when there was nothing but darkness, God simply spoke, "Let there be light." And the Bible tells me there was light. He has supernatural ability. In the realm of Christendom, there are different beliefs about God. The dualist says and believes in the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. He says the Father is one personality, the Son is another personality, but that what we call the Holy Spirit is just an entity or a common bond that holds them together. And then the most prevalent thought in Christendom is the Trinitarian thought. The doctrine that says that God is three separate persons wrapped up in one Godhead, comes back to rapture it up in the end. I want to let you know tonight that there is a Father, Son, and a Holy Ghost. But he's not three, he's one tonight. He was Father in creation, Son in redemption. And right now, tonight, here at Cobo Hall, he's the Holy Ghost in the church. Now I want to let you know that in this oneness and in this unity, there's a mystery in God that has until now been kept secret even from the foundation of the world. Amen. It's been kept from mankind. But in this dispensation of grace, even though it's a mystery, it's been revealed, and God has revealed it without a controversy. Once God speaks, that's it. Once God sets it up, it can't be taken down. I heard the psalmist say, "Thy word is settled in heaven." How long? Forever. Settled in heaven forever. Praise the Lord. There's always been an argument concerning the Godhead and the deity of Jesus Christ. Some say he was just a prophet. Some say he was just a good man. Some say that he was just the Son of God. But I wanted you to know tonight and reassure us as apostolic people that Jesus is still God. How many of you know he's God tonight? Hallelujah. God has revealed this mystery in the revelation of himself, which includes the revelation of his name for this time. There are three ways that God has spoken to man: by inspiration, by illumination, and by revelation. Praise the Lord. I know many preachers that preach without the Holy Ghost. They've been inspired to carry God's word. Then there are some who have just been illuminated. Their spiritual eyesight has been opened to the word of God. But in order to understand the Godhead of Jesus Christ, this thing has to be revealed to you. It has to come by a personal revelation that comes when Jesus comes into your heart. I wonder, am I right about it? If I'm right, somebody say hallelujah.
Hallelujah. It is through the revelation, I'm about ready to go now, but it is through the revelation of the name of Jesus that we understand the Godhead of Jesus Christ. In Isaiah 9 and 6, when God gave Isaiah the great prophecy about the coming of the Messiah, God told this prophet that his name would be the name of the everlasting Father and the name of the mighty God. In Matthew 1 and 21, when the angel was sent with a telegram from the throne of grace and was sent unto Joseph, he told him, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, because what is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sin." Praise the Lord. In these two scriptures, we see that he is the Father and that he is the Son. And in that is revealed a great redemptive plan for man. Because God did not save us in the fatherhood of himself. God has made provision for us to be saved by the sonship. Because where there is no blood, there will be no remission of sins. And the blood of bulls and goats are only sufficient for a time. But I want to let you know that as that sufficiency wore out the other Friday evening, God died. He purchased the church with his own blood. He went to Calvary himself in the likeness of sinful flesh. When he got the victory over the devil, he did not get it in the God he was. He got it in the man that he was. Because he was God and man. And God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself. Oh, he's the Father tonight. A lot of people go around saying, they say, "Well, y'all say that Jesus is his own father." We don't say that Jesus is his own father. We say Jesus is the Father. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody say, "Well, what about the Holy Ghost? What about the Holy Ghost?" Jesus said that he would send another comforter. Praise the Lord. They say, "Y'all trying to make them one, but you've got to separate them somewhere." Because Jesus talked about the Holy Ghost as another person. But Jesus merely talked about the Holy Ghost as his other self. Because he was talking in the flesh about the things of the Spirit. Somebody say, "I don't believe Jesus is the Holy Ghost." You ought to read your Bible. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 3 and 17 says, the Lord, not the third person of the Trinity, but the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is no separation in God. There is no division in God. Because the number of God is one. You take an egg, you have a shell, you have a white, and you have an egg yolk. But you still just have an egg. Father in creation, Son in redemption, but he's the Holy Ghost in the church. He is just one God. Praise the Lord. Moses didn't have the Holy Ghost on the inside, but he had enough spiritual intellect to pick it up when he said, "Hear, O Israel." I wish I had me a praying chest today. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord." I hear God speaking to Isaiah saying, "I am the Lord. No other Savior beside myself." He said, "I am the Lord." Not two Lords, not three Lords. I am the Lord. I am the Lord. And that was one of the key significations of what that Jesus was really God. Because all throughout his ministry, he kept using the signification, "I am. I am. I am. I am." Somebody said, "Well, it's still a mystery. I can't understand it. I can't quite comprehend it." Praise the Lord. Now, and I wish you would tell me how I can just get a hold to this God. I want to let you know that this God is here tonight. And I want to let you know that he's willing to reveal himself to you. And all you have to do is grab a hold of faith and ask God to reveal himself to you. Praise the Lord. I remember just a few years ago, I began preaching at the age of 11 years old in the Baptist church, if you please. I thought I was all right. They told us young preachers that we could do anything we wanted to do. And as long as we repented before we hit the pulpit on Sunday morning, everything would be all right. We were taught and induced into Trinitarian theology. But one day I heard somebody on the radio saying that God is one. And this thing began to dig down deep and began to bother me on the inside. I began to be just like David as the hart panteth after the water brooks. Praise the Lord, that's just how bad I wanted God. And God began to deal with my spirit. And God began to deal with my mind. And one night the Lord showed me a vision. I feel my help coming, y'all. The Lord showed me a vision one night. He said, son, you've been worrying and been concerned about the way you've been brought up and what you're hearing now. Bishop Bonner, I had a vision of the Lord. I didn't see his face, praise the Lord, but he had a crown on his head, and I couldn't even describe the beauty of that crown. I could see his hair, and it was just like that lamb wool. I could see his feet, it was just like that fine brass. And I began to cry out to God in my room, how many are you, Lord? How many are you, Lord? How many are you, Lord? I said, this is all I know. This is all I've been raised in. And he told me, don't you worry, son. He said, I just come to let you know one thing, that I am the Lord. There's no other beside me. He said, I'm one in the morning. I'm one in the evening. I'm one in the midnight hour. When tears are streaming down your face, he said, I am the one. Called you before you came out of your mother's womb. He said, I am the one that reached down and picked you up out of the miry clay, and I set your feet on a rock to stay. He said, I'm one because I'm God. He said, I'm more than a father. I'm more than a son. I'm more than the Holy Ghost. I'm bread when you're hungry. I'm water in dry places. I'm clothes on your back. Yeah, he real tonight. How many is he, church? How many is he, church? How many is he, church? Ah, yes, he won tonight. I know he won. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Do you believe it? I know he's one tonight. There shall be light in the evening time. The path to glory you'll surely find in the waterway. It's the light today. Bear it, bear it, bear it, bear it, bear it. In his precious name, young and old, repent of all your sins. The Holy Ghost, God himself, the Holy Ghost, God on the inside, the Holy Ghost, God in the spirit, he'll enter in, he'll enter in, he'll take out lying, he'll take out adultery, he'll take out fornication. Yeah, 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 the evening time has come. It's a fact, it's a fact, it's a fact, it's a fact that God and Christ, they're one, they're one, they're one. Aren't you glad about it? They're one. He saved me, he raised me as the one. He made me holy, he made me righteous, he filled me, he thrilled me, he picked me up, he turned me all the way around. Yeah, 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 yeah.
Let's lift our hands and praise him, hallelujah. Let's praise him once again, hallelujah. Praise him again, hallelujah. These services are coming to you from the 63rd International Convention of the Church of our Lord Jesus Christ of the Apostolic Faith. Let us sit in prayer at this time as Bishop Matthew Norwood from the state of Georgia break unto us the bread of life. Let us receive him by saying amen.
Amen.
Bishop Norwood. Shall we bow in a word of prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, we do thank you for the preaching of your word tonight. We thank you for your very presence in this place. We come now beseeching your help, for without you we can do nothing. Stretch out your hand of mercy. Let your glory be revealed in the name of Jesus Christ. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. Satan, the Lord rebuke you. The blood of Jesus is against you. The name of Jesus is against you. We don't need you here. Hallelujah. Bless us, your Lord, and let your will be accomplished. Thy name alone shall have the glory. And all of the people of God said, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, to our illustrious presider, Bishop Bonner, to the Board of Apostles, to all of the constituents of this great convention, the churches of our Lord Jesus Christ. I wish that I could just give the altar call now and that we could go home. Praise the Lord, because we have certainly had some good preaching tonight.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And I think, as Bishop Spencer used to say, enough is enough. Praise the Lord. But I would like to take just this moment to recognize the presence of Apostle Perry Thomas, my father in the gospel. Praise the Lord. You're talking about a miracle. Here sits a miracle in our midst. We are delighted and we are honored to have his presence tonight. Because you have me scheduled to say something, I will just read a scripture and have a few comments. And we shall have our altar call. If you will turn with me to the book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. The book of Revelation, chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Subject tonight is, don't let your fire go out. Suppose you look to the person sitting next to you and tell them, don't let your fire go out. Certainly these are days of apostasy. These are days of backsliding. These are days of lukewarmness. And without a doubt, we're living in the Laodicean stage of church history, which encompasses the period from about AD 1900 to the rapture of the church. Now, Laodicea was situated about 40 miles southeast of Philadelphia on the road to Colossae. It was a wealthy city. And it was known for its production of wool. Praise the Lord. When destroyed by an earthquake in about AD 60, it was able to rebuild itself completely without any outside assistance. Praise the Lord. But its economic sufficiency tended to lull this church to sleep. Isn't this always the case? Amen. Even in this 20th century, praise the Lord, when we enjoy a standard of living unparalleled by any nation on earth, it has served to lull the people of God into insensitivity to spiritual matters. Praise the Lord. If you'll pray with me for just a few moments. Though there is mention of this church as late as the 14th century,
The city as well as the church now is in complete ruins. Even though there is no evidence that the Apostle Paul ever visited this church, he sends greetings to the church of Laodicea in Colossians chapter 4 and verse 15. Praise the Lord. Now it is to this particular church that Christ addresses message number 7. It is my firm conviction that the church is besieged and plagued with the various problems that we have today is because we neglect the study of the 7 messages to the 7 churches of Asia. Praise the Lord. It is to this particular church that Christ addresses this 7th message. Let's notice the salutation. He says, unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Notice who gets the message. The angel, which is the pastor or the messenger. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, write, these things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Praise the Lord. Now in each of these messages, Christ referred to himself, to each of these particular churches, to some particular aspect of his being which was needful to that church. Are you listening? Amen. Amen means so be it. It speaks of his sovereignty. Amen. And the fulfillment of his promise. Praise the Lord. 2 Corinthians 1 and 20 declares that for all of the promises of God in him are yea and in him amen to the glory of God by us. Praise the Lord. When Christ speaks, it's the final word. Praise the Lord. And also he refers to himself as the faithful and true witness. This is in contrast, praise the Lord, to this church which was neither faithful nor true. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the name of our God. Then he says, the beginning of the creation of God. In him, praise the Lord, the whole creation of God is begun, amen, and conditioned. Amen. He is its source and primary fountainhead. Are you listening? Colossians 1:15 declares that the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. And Colossians 1:18 speaks of him as the beginning, amen, the firstborn from the dead. Amen. And then in Revelation, blessed be God, he refers to himself as the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last, he which was, which is, and is to come, the Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Now the Lord, amen, had a complaint to this church. By the way, this is the only church to which Christ had no commendation for. Praise the Lord. All of the other churches, he commended them and then pointed out the error. But this particular church had no commendation. Are you listening? The Lord said to this church, I know thy works. Hallelujah. I know what you're doing. I know your status. I know what you ought to be doing. And I know what you're not doing. Because I, blessed be God, declare the end from the beginning, saying my counsel shall stand, and I will do all of my good pleasure. Oh, people of God, that's a sobering thought tonight, that he knows all about your works. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sometimes we think that we can fool God. But the Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, that the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Are you going to pray a little while? Oh, bless the name of Jesus. I'm trying to tell you tonight that don't let your fire go out. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Now the Lord said to this church, and he said, I would that you were hot or cold. Amen. But if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Didn't he say something? In other words, Christ said, come in or stay out. Some of us are straddle the fence. Hallelujah. We are neither black nor white, but we are a sickening gray. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and we make God sick on the stomach. Hallelujah, and the Lord said, because thou art neither hot nor cold, but you are lukewarm, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. Oh, praise the name of Jesus. The Lord went on to say to this church, you think that you're rich, amen, and all of the rest, but he said, I want to tell you that you are poor. You are wretched. You are blind. You are miserable. Lord have mercy. Can you help me preach for a little bit here tonight? Oh, praise the name of Jesus. Now, Jesus used some gentle irony here. Amen. Because Laodicea, amen, was known for its production of wool cloth. It had clothed many bodies. But yet the Lord said, you are naked. Didn't he say so? They had an eye salve, praise the Lord, which was popular throughout the world. But the Lord said, you are blind, spiritually blind, insensitive to the things of God. Oh, praise our God. And the Lord said, I want to counsel you to buy of me gold, fire in the fire. Didn't he say so now? Oh, glory. He said, I want you to repent. Repent. Hallelujah. And turn from your wicked ways. Can you say yes, Lord? Yes. Lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, praise the Lord, in this day and time, we have many solutions to the problems facing the church today. Some people say, let's get more witnesses. And some say, let's pay more tithes. Amen. And others give other solutions. But you don't hear anybody saying, repent. It's time for the church to repent. 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 Lord have mercy. Can you say praise him? Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man will open the door, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me. Praise our God. Now I know that we have put this scripture on the unsaved people, and it's applicable there also. But the Lord was talking to the church. Lord have mercy. Oh yes, he was. He went outside of his own church that he purchased with his own blood, on the outside, knocking, saying, if any man, if any woman, if any boy, if any girl will open the door, I'll come in, I'll sup with him, and he with me. Say yes. Yes. Don't let your fire go out. Hallelujah. But praise our God. This is the day and time when we are lukewarm. Lord have mercy. I'm just about finished now. But we permit today some of anything, Lord have mercy, to go on in the house of the Lord. You say, well, preacher, when is a church lukewarm? A church is lukewarm when, bless God, it extols eloquence in the pulpit more than truth. Hallelujah to God. Eloquence will save nobody. But Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. Hallelujah. I'm so glad for the truth of the living God. Hallelujah. 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 The church is lukewarm when we have substituted recreation for prayer meetings. Hallelujah. Say it. Yeah. The church is lukewarm when we've substituted lectures for the study of the word of the living God. Say yes, Lord. But I tell you, my friends, it's time to wake up, to step up, to perk up, to pray up, to confess up, to pay up. Yeah. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Jesus. I don't know about you, but I'm not going to let my fire go out. Hallelujah. The Lord lit my fire 33 years ago. He gave me the baptism of the Holy Ghost. How many of you got the Holy Ghost here? Lift your hand and say, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Some of you got your fire lit in this convention. Don't you let it go out. Keep the fire burning. Keep on fire. Keep zealous for the Lord. Hallelujah. Because after a while, it will all be over. After a while, the sun's going to shine. After a while, God will pass over. We're going to shout hallelujah. After a while, glory to God. Don't let your fire go out. Hallelujah. 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 Because thou art neither hot nor cold. Lord have mercy. Oh yes, in Laodicea's day, they had the chandeliers. Lord have mercy. Glory be to God. They had the carpet on the floor. They had the stained glasses. They had the organs. Lord have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. But let me stop here. I want to hasten to tell you that God doesn't put a premium on storefronts. Oh, no, he doesn't. I'm glad to see that he has brought us out. Tell him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. But don't you let it separate you from the love of God. Don't let your joy die out. You've got to have the joy. Lift your hand, somebody, and shout joy.
Joy.
Joy. Hey. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Nehemiah picked it up. He said, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Yay. Lord, have mercy. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Take everything away from me, but don't take my joy. Hallelujah. Don't take my victory. Don't take my fire. I feel the fire burning. I feel the fire.